Drive Time on RTE Radio 1 with National Irish Bank. The bank that brought Danske Bank's international expertise to Ireland is now bringing the Danske Bank name.
Regular listeners to the programme will have heard in the last few weeks first Maggie's story, then Emma's story, two cases of alleged child sex abuse where the HSE appeared to devote more energy to its dispute with the parent bringing the allegations forward than with the child making the disclosure. Both Emma and Maggie's mothers claim the HSE in action exposed their children to further abuse. We've been contacted by more and more people, mostly mothers, making similar disclosures and experiencing similar reactions from officialdom. Today, Philip Boucher-Hayes looks at the disclosures of two sisters, 3-year-old Chloe and 5-year-old Lainey, after which the director designate of the Child and Family Agency, Gordon Jays, will respond. And Philip, before we go into the detail, give us the summary.
Two young children, Mary, make disclosures, first to their mother, then to other adults, of stories that back each other up in all respects. The level of detail that they offer in those stories is in the minds of several psychologists that I've talked to who have independently examined their testimony, proof of grooming and abuse by their father. But then the HSE arrived at a very different conclusion and have recommended that the father regain unsupervised access to both of the children, which the mother, against every better instinct she has had to agree to. Now, in common with other cases that we have reported and others that I'm currently examining but haven't yet actually reported on, there is, it would appear on the HSE's part, breaches of policy, breaches of procedure, and curiously, a reliance upon models of child psychological development, which other professionals who have examined the case don't feel are remotely relevant.
Now, were Lainey and Chloe's disclosures ever reported to the Gardaí?
They were, and two Gardaí came to the girls' house to interview the older child, Lainey. Initially, it was felt, you see, that Chloe would be too young to be interviewed by the police, so they didn't. But unfortunately for the investigation, Lainey clammed up and refused to talk on two separate occasions to the Gardaí. So the Gardaí recommended that the HSE would interview Lainey instead. Before that happened, the girl's mother says that she had a call from a member of HSE staff who was assigned to their case shortly before the children, both children on this occasion, then were to be interviewed. And she says that this phone call completely undermined her faith in the process because the official seemed influenced, or seemed to her to be influenced, by her husband's standing in society. Now, to protect the anonymity of the children, what I have done here is to have the mother's words voiced by an actress.
He said that while on paper the evidence supporting the abuse allegation all looked very black and white, because of my husband's position, it didn't make sense because he would have so much to lose.
Because of his position, it didn't make sense. Did that strike you as being a little bit partial?
It did. And what I said to him was, didn't Jimmy Savile also have a lot to lose? All the time, though, what was really going through my head was, my children have an awful lot to lose, and that was my only concern.
What happened when the children were interviewed?
It went positively initially. The lead social worker said Lainey was trying to tell us something, but it wasn't clear what. She would talk about what she had seen her father doing to her sister, but she wouldn't discuss what her father had done to her. Chloe was much more forward about it and just said that her father had abused her and her sister. After these first interviews, the social worker said to me that Lainey's interview was raising red lights and amber lights, and Chloe's just a lot of red lights.
That conclusive?
That conclusive, yes. But then he went on to say that while Chloe was saying one thing, his gut was telling him that she was saying actually another thing.
Philip, who was doing the interviewing?
The HSE's own policy on this matter is that it would prefer to rely on the assessment of a multidisciplinary team of social workers, of psychologists, if necessary, of psychiatrists as well, to interview suspected abuse victims. That didn't happen in this case. But there was the intervention of a child psychologist that the HSE has relied upon in the past. Now, the psychologist had previously seen the elder of the children, Lainey. That was over a year and a half previously, though. The psychologist, and this I have to make clear, the psychologist did not see her after she made the disclosure of abuse. And without interviewing the child about the abuse, the psychologist wrote a report, which I have read, casting doubt on the possibility of the abuse. The conclusion of the report was that where there was acrimony between the parents, children were frequently prompted to make up allegations of abuse, added to which the psychologist assessed Lainey as Oedipal and at a stage of development where sexual fantasy and sexual wishes were heightened. All of this.
She's without, seven.
Yes.
Age seven, yeah. Okay.
And all of this without interviewing the child in over a year and a half, and not since the disclosures of abuse. Now, other psychologists that I have talked to have dismissed this view of child psychology as being out of date and discredited. I can't tell you if that is the view of all psychologists. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But none of the ones that I have talked to sees A, how it's relevant, and B, how you can cast doubt on the possibility of abuse having happened without even interviewing the child. But the social work team would appear to have been very influenced by this report from the psychologist, going from the amber lights and the red lights that you heard being discussed there to a really very ambiguous conclusion.
I was told that there was some evidence, but insufficient evidence for a finding of sexual abuse.
Some evidence, but insufficient evidence. What did you understand that to mean?
I asked them which of the standard categories did they feel that fell into, negative, positive or inconclusive. They said none of the above, that it was some evidence, but insufficient for a finding of sexual abuse.
Some evidence of something. Was that not enough of a red flag, though, to warrant limiting access or at the very least supervising it?
I asked them what they were going to do to protect my children, because obviously I was terrified that something was going to happen to them if I was forced to send them back to their father, which is what the HSE was recommending.
And what did the prospect of their father regaining access do to you?
I was terrified. I was physically sick. It is just mental torture every single day. It's just horrible because I feel so helpless and no one is doing anything to help. I have so many experts telling me that this is abuse, but nobody wants to hear it. Nobody wants to review it. Nobody wants to provide any help or support for my girls. It's just me.
Philip, has access now resumed?
It has. The father has access to the two children again. What you have here is, let's not forget this, two children whose stories are backing each other up in each and every respect. The same two children are exhibiting extreme distress at the prospect of visiting their father. They're raising red and amber lights for the officials. Independent psychologists have fears for their safety. But as we have seen in the previous cases that we have looked at, allegations are made against the mother. Her fitness to parent is drawn into question, which was ultimately subsequently established as being beyond reproach. But it appears once again that the HSE focused on her and focused on her psychiatric good health as a reason to prevent her from making further disclosures of abuse. You have the HSE also relying on these psychologist interviews with someone who hasn't even interviewed the children and bases their assessment on contested theories. In this case, the HSE would also appear not to be following its own best practice in having a multidisciplinary team assess the case. And then the recommendation of the HSE and the psychologist was that the children, this seems particularly cruel, was that the children be forced to see their father. In essence, that they be given no forewarning of where they were being taken and that their father should surprise them there.
Is that what happened?
It is. And it was very stressful for the children initially. But the mother did admit to me, and I suppose this is because daddies will always be heroes to little girls and little boys, that as long as the meeting was supervised, as long as she was there to see it, it appeared to go very happily. Perhaps the most incredible footnote to all of this, though, is not actually that meeting and the children being forced to see their father again. It is that one evening the mother got the older of the two children talking, and she recorded a conversation that she has played for two different psychologists. She's also played for me. Now, you can raise quite, I suppose, legitimate objections here about the possible coaching by a parent of a child. But notwithstanding that possible influence, those psychologists concluded that what the child said on this video recording could not be ignored. Now, as I said, I've watched it. It is horrifying. If you saw it, you would find it very, very hard to understand how anybody could ignore it and how anybody watching it could have made the recommendations that the HSE has. But the mother said that her attempts to get the HSE to consider the video were rebuffed. One person assigned to the children's case said the following, and again, these words are voiced by an actress, said the following when she tried to show him the video.
All processes had a beginning and an end, and that this one was at an end and they weren't going to hear any more allegations about my ex-husband.
Did you infer from that if you were to make any further disclosures on the girl's behalf, that they weren't going to be entertained by the HSE?
Yes.
The basic principle that's supposed to underlie children first is that the needs of the children should be put first when they make a disclosure. How, in your opinion, has the HSE done by your children in this respect?
I don't think they believe children at all. When I was asked what I should say to my children when they say these things about their father, I was told to dissuade them from talking about it.
To sweep it under the carpet, in effect.
Yeah. But best practice elsewhere is now deemed to be to explain to the children right and wrong touches, to explain to them that when these things happen, they need to be able to tell it to their doctor, their teacher, other people besides mummy.
Precisely the opposite of what you have been advised to do by the HSE.
Absolutely.
What confidence have you in the HSE being the right people to approach with an allegation of child abuse?
None. I feel like I was put on trial. I was told not only to dissuade them from talking about it, but also that what the children needed was a strong parent, not counselling.
A strong parent. That is presumably precisely what you felt you were being.
I have fought and fought and fought. I think I'm in a stronger, better resourced position than most women to keep fighting. And I don't know how other women are getting through it. I don't know how women who can't afford a second opinion get through it. You have to have a legal team. You have to have instructed a solicitor. How do people on social welfare do that? Are they just ignored? Are they just thrown by the wayside?
Philip, we have Gordon Jays here in studio with us. And Gordon Jays, thank you for coming in. But has the HSE responded?
Well, obviously, we're going to hear from Gordon now. But the only formal response that we have had from the HSE until now, and this is not just in respect of Lainey and Chloe's stories, but Maggie's story and Emma's story and all the ones that we have reported, the only formal response that we have had has been to draw our attention to ours, that is RTE's obligations under Children First, to which we have responded that everything that has been brought to this programme's attention by the mothers of all of the children that we have reported on is information that the HSE has too.